The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on March 31st, 1992 in Bangalore, Karnataka, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 22nd Chapter, 24th Verse.
A candidate for spiritual advancement must be non-violent, must follow in the footsteps of great acharyas, must always remember the nectar of the pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, must follow the regulated principles without material desire, and while following the regulated principles, should not blaspheme others. A devotee should lead a very simple life and not be disturbed by the duality of opposing elements. He should learn to tolerate them. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The devotees are actually saintly persons or sadhus. The first qualification of a sadhu or devotee is ahimsa or nonviolence. Persons interested in the path of devotional service or in going back home, back to Godhead, must first practice ahimsa or nonviolence. A sadhu is described as titikshava karunikaha, Bhagavatam 3:25-21. A devotee should be tolerant and should be very much compassionate toward others. For example, if he suffers personal injury, he should tolerate it. But if someone else suffers injury, he need not tolerate it. The whole world is full of violence, and a devotee's first business is to stop this violence, including the unnecessary slaughter of animals. A devotee is the friend not only of human society, but of all living entities. For he sees all living entities as sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not claim himself to be the only son of God and allow all others to be killed, thinking that they have no soul. This kind of philosophy is never advocated by a pure devotee of the Lord. Suhida sarva dehinam. A true devotee is the friend of all living entities. Krishna claims in Bhagavad Gita to be the father of all species of living entities. Consequently, the devotee of Krishna is always a friend of all. This is called ahimsa, nonviolence. Such nonviolence can be practiced only when we follow in the footsteps of great acharyas. Therefore, according to our Vaishnava philosophy, we have to follow the great acharyas of the four sampradayas, or disciplic succession. So, it's a very long purport. This is a very informative, very important verse regarding the qualifications for a candidate for spiritual advancement. So the first qualification was non-violence. Srila Prabhupada stated that it's the devotee's first business to stop violence, including unnecessary slaughter of animals. In this world, there's so much violence going on. In the name of humanity, in the name of well-being of the human beings, they're slaughtering so many animals. This slaughter of animals is not freely condoned in either the Vedic religion or the Buddhist religion. It's very highly restricted. But in Western religions, they came up with the philosophy that animals have no soul. Therefore, there's no sin if you kill an animal. It's like an animal doesn't exist, no soul. Of course, they have societies for cruelty to animals, that you shouldn't be cruel to animals. When you kill them, it should be painless. There's a society like that. But even the society members, many of them are not vegetarian. So if Krishna consciousness is understood and practiced by the people in the Western world more completely, then naturally violence to animals and violence to others would decrease. Indirectly, we're achieving the same aim as the cruelty to animals society, but we're doing it by giving knowledge that these living entities have a soul. And if you forcibly end their presence of their soul in the body, which is known as killing them, then you have to take the karma. The Bible actually says, thou shalt not kill. When Prabhupada would challenge, why you're killing so many animals? They would say, that's not killing because they have no soul. So you say you murder a human being, you kill an animal. He said, thou shalt not kill means that you don't kill animals. But they're not accepting. So Prabhupada was pointing out that in the name of Dharma, these things shouldn't go on. They should be stopped. So the devotee tolerates inconvenience for himself, but doesn't want to tolerate any inconvenience for others. The second point is to follow the footsteps of the great acharyas. That is explained here by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, trying to advance in spiritual life outside the disciplic succession is simply ludicrous. It is said, therefore, Acharyavan Purusho Veda, Chandakya Upanishad, 6.14.2. One who follows the disciplic succession of acharyas knows things as they are. Tadvijnanartam Sagurum Eva Bigachit, Mandaka Upanishad, 1.2.12. In order to understand the transcendental science, one must approach the bona fide spiritual master. The word smritya is very important in spiritual life. Smritya means remembering Krishna always. Life should be molded. So these are different points in the original verse. First was to be non-violent. Second was you have to follow in the footsteps of great acharyas. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave several two quotations here. How we have to follow the disciplic succession from Chandakya and Mundaka Upanishad. He explained that we must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Then the next point in the original verse was must always remember the nectar of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Prabhupada says, the word smritya is very important in spiritual life. Smritya means remembering Krishna always. Life should be molded in such a way that one cannot remain alone without thinking of Krishna. We should live in Krishna so that while eating, sleeping, walking and working, we remain only in Krishna. Our Krishna Consciousness Society recommends that we arrange our living so that we can remember Krishna. In our ISKCON Society, the devotees, while engaged in making spiritual sky incense, are also hearing about the glories of Krishna or his devotees. The Shastra recommends, Smartabhya Satatang Vishnu. Lord Vishnu should be remembered always, constantly. Vismartabhyo Najatu Chit. Vishnu should never be forgotten. That is the way of spiritual life. Smritya, the remembrance of the Lord can be continued if we hear about him constantly. It is therefore recommended in this verse, Mukunda Charitagha Siddhuna. Siddhu means nectar. To hear about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or similar authentic literature is to live in Krishna consciousness. Such concentration in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by persons who are strictly following the rules and regulative principles. We have recommended in our Krishna Consciousness Movement that a devotee chant 16 rounds on beads daily and follow the regulated principles. That will help the devotee to spiritually advance. in life. So the two points are given. One is several points. One is mithya, remembering. Other is preaching. Other is following the regular principles. We need to remember the Lord always. Remember His pastime. Smartabhya satatam Vishnu. Always remember Vishnu. So many times we forget Vishnu. We forget Krishna. And we remember so many other things. So going to these temples, chanting the holy name, reading the Shastra, all these are practical means whereby we can remember Krishna. When we fully remember Krishna, we see so many problems disappear. Problems in life are because we're not able to focus on Krishna. Once we remember the Lord, then we can preach His glories for uplifting the others. There is another way of being non-violent. Saving people from suffering is non-violent. Allowing them to suffer is a form of violence. It is also stated in this verse, Prabhupada continues, that by controlling their senses, one can become a Swami or Goswami. One who is therefore enjoying this super title, Swami or Goswami, must be very strict in controlling his senses. Indeed, he must be master of his senses. This is possible when one does not desire any material sense gratification. If by chance the senses want to work independently, he must control them. If we simply practice avoiding material sense gratification, controlling the senses is automatically achieved. So here it explains, Yamai, Akamai, Niyamai, Cha. By following regulative principles without material desires, by strictly following the rules and regulations. It's not possible to advance spiritually without following rules and regulations. Many times we preach to people in the West, and now the New Age movement is there. People want to advance spiritually, but they don't want to follow very many rules and regulations. We met one German devotee while we were coming by train, Michael, and he was telling us how he was attracted by different New Age philosophies. He felt that it was too difficult to practice Krishna consciousness, so he was looking for something easier. This is the nature of the conditioned soul. They are looking for the easy way out. But we have to see what will work. All the authorities say that in order to achieve spiritual advancement, we have to control our senses. Lord Chaitanya was most merciful. He delivered fallen souls without any discrimination. Once they took initiation, he expected them to follow very strictly their vows. Sometimes we find in Krishna consciousness today, people who have taken initiation vows, they don't follow them strictly. So this is a very big problem. It's a big obstacle on their path of spiritual advancement. If we avoid sense gratification, automatically the senses are controlled. The next thing that was mentioned in the verse, Icha api anindaya, not to criticize others. Prabhupada mentioned another important point mentioned in this connection, anindaya, is that we should not criticize others' methods of religion. There are different types of religious systems operating under different qualities of material nature. Those operating in the mode of ignorance and passion cannot be as perfect as that system in the mode of goodness. In Bhagavad Gita, everything has been divided into three qualitative divisions. Therefore, religious systems are similarly categorized. When people are mostly under the modes of passion and ignorance, their system of religion will be of the same quality. A devotee, instead of criticizing such systems, will encourage the followers to stick to their principles so that they gradually come to the platform of religion and goodness. Thus, the devotee should tolerate them and learn to stop agitation. So blaspheming or criticizing others is another important aspect. We don't try to find fault with others to make ourselves seem better. We see how a person can be engaged in God consciousness. If they're not able to be engaged in Krishna consciousness, then Vyasadeva was kind enough to give other processes. not requiring so much spiritual determination. And in conclusion, Prabhupada says, Nirihaya, simple living. Niriha means gentle, meek, or simple. A devotee should not live gorgeously and imitate a materialistic person. Plain living and high thinking are recommended for a devotee. He should accept only so much as he can to keep the material body fit for the execution of devotional service. He should not eat nor sleep more than is required. Simply eating for living and not living for eating, and sleeping only 6 to 7 hours a day, are principles to be followed by devotees. As long as the body is there, it is subjected to the influence of climatic changes, disease and natural disturbances, the threefold miseries of material existence. We cannot avoid them. Sometimes we receive letters from neophyte devotees requesting why they have fallen sick although pursuing Krishna consciousness. They should learn from this verse that they have to become tolerant. Dvandva titikshaya. This is a world of duality. Because he has fallen sick, one should not think that he has fallen from Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness can continue without impediment from any material opposition. Lord Krishna therefore advises in Bhagavad Gita, Tangstatiksha Swa Bharata. My dear Arjuna, please try to tolerate all these disturbances. Be fixed in your Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Gita 2.14 is also the end of Prabhupada's translation and purport to the text 24, chapter 22, canto 4 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the simple living, when we travel around in India, we're forced to have simple living, living in the trains and the buses and the dharmshalas. When we go on Navadvip Parikrama and live in the tents, we're forced to have a simple living. So this is one of the qualities of a transcendentalist, is to have simple living. One of the general managers of BHEL was commenting how nowadays people are simply mad after comfort. They're thinking the more comforts they get, the happier they'll get. But they're missing their real point. He was actually correct to say that simply going after comfort in life will not give ultimate happiness. This is a big problem in the world today. People have lost the nature of austerity, penance, tolerance. Any little disturbance comes up, they become disturbed, they become very affected, agitated. So there are so many disturbances. When we leave this body, we're going to face the most difficult disturbances. Our voice may be choked up. We may want to chant Hare Krishna, but instead, some gargling sound will come. We may want to do so many things, but we will not be able to. So in order to fix our mind on Krishna, we can follow this system of tolerance and simple living, accepting whatever Krishna provides us. The people live in our temple ashrams. Naturally, they accept a more simple lifestyle. But this is very beneficial for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Living outside in a very luxurious house or apartment may not be conducive for one's Krishna consciousness. So this visit to India teaches the devotees to be a little tolerant so that we can be more fixed in our practice of Krishna consciousness. If we're able to cross over very difficult things, crossing over easy things is not difficult. But this is a basic principle that we should learn to become very tolerant. We should be able to tolerate all kinds of obstacles that come up. We should be determined in our Krishna consciousness. Then we can achieve the success in life very easily. So Lord Chaitanya, he appreciated very much when his devotees voluntarily took some austerities. He appreciated the austerities of Sanatana Goswami, appreciated the austerities of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das was the most austere. We cannot imitate. Many examples are there. So Srila Prabhupada, he also appreciated how devotees were taking so many difficulties to distribute his books. And he showered his blessings on them for doing that service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So because many other programs, I'll end the class early today. Any questions? I don't understand the exact example of how the devotees are joking and pointing out defects. We can advise another devotee under certain circumstances to correct some defect they have. If it's with the idea of helping that devotee, then it's considered constructive. There is certain etiquette and protocol which is to be observed if one wants to give such advice to a more senior devotee. That is constructive. If you laugh at someone else, that's not very favorable. Is that all right? Which is shown by examples of great devotees. The Phalgu Vairagya is renouncing something without it actually being pleasing to Krishna. Say that someone says, like there are some yogis, they say, I will not touch money. Money is dirty. It's material. I won't touch it. So he tells his secretary, you touch the money. I won't touch it. Of course, there, someone other they are touching by checkbook or something. But even they're saying money is dirty. The Prabhupada, he said that if you want to give me money for Krishna, I'm not shy, I'll take it with two hands. But then I'll spend it for Krishna. We have so much work to do for Krishna. So actually Prabhupada is taking but using for Krishna, that's real renunciation. And if somebody is saying, no, I won't touch money, either it's a false renunciation, or in some cases they're just cheating. They're taking the money, but they're showing themselves to be very renounced, I won't touch. So we have to see practically what's being used for Krishna's service. If something is used in a service, that's proper renunciation. If you just reject something because it's too much trouble, or because you think it's material, but it can actually be used in Krishna's service, and that's called Phalgu Vairagya, or a superficial renunciation. Any other question? The point is constructive criticism. Say that somebody is having spiritual difficulty, and if you're just a gossiper and you tell everybody, so-and-so had a fall down, so-and-so had a fall down, look and see, like a little kid, you know. That may make you feel good, but it's not helping that person, either it helps other people. If you see that somebody is having difficulty, go to that person and try to encourage them by begging or by preaching or by whatever means available to go on the right path. That is constructive, not offensive, if you do it in a proper way. Then if you see that somebody is off and they're polluting other people, say someone starts to preach that it's all right to take drugs once a week, you know, if it's just light drugs like marijuana or something, you know, it doesn't really hurt. And he starts going and preaching devotee, you have to tell the devotees this person has fallen. He's not following Prabhupada's instruction. He's a fallen devotee, so you shouldn't listen to him. That you have to do in order to protect the life of others. So if we do give some criticism, it has to be for the higher purpose of either saving that person or protecting others who may be misled by that person. We don't just say it. There's some people they like enjoy talking about people's fall down. Say somebody in other side of the world which nobody ever heard or seen had a fall down, and then someone likes to talk about it in some other part of the world. What's the use? What's the benefit anyone's going to derive? Just unnecessarily clutters the mind. Last question. Is it offensive that we refuse prasadam? Like what kind of austerity? You refuse to eat any prasadam as a special austerity. You'll only eat unoffered food. Anybody hear what she's saying? You answered the question and said, eating prasad is more valuable. There are many people there. Here in Bangalore, there's a famous health clinic. People go there to lose fat mainly, and also for other reasons, health reasons. You can pay money and get a nice place, and you can fast, go on special fasting program. But although those people are fasting, but they're not becoming Krishna conscious. So just doing austerities is not in itself guarantee one to get any spiritual advancement. When you take Krishna prasadam, that is also austerity. You're taking the vow not to eat food not offered to Krishna. So that's austerity. But eating Krishna prasadam, Bhagavad Gita explains, we get purified from the sins and we get the spiritual benefit. By fasting, you get some limited purification, but not to the extent as by taking prasadam. Of course, on some holy days, we also fast, like Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima, Narsingha Chaturdasi, for the pleasure of Vishnu. Then at the end, we also feast. So yesterday was Ekadasi, you're all fasting. So now today is Dwadasi, you're not supposed to be fasting. So I won't speak anymore, you should take prasadam. Hare Krishna.